I want to look in Psalm 29 to start with tonight. And it's interesting how God puts things together, because he's been tugging on my heart since Brother David asked me to preach tonight about encouragement. And I think the way things have been going so far in the last couple hours, we just need a good dose of encouragement. God is on the throne, amen? And the devil is shaking in his boots. That's what it says in the Word. Stand with me in honor of God's Word, Psalm 29. I'm going to read these 11 verses. David writes, and one man said that he was probably watching a thunderstorm. That's just a guess coming. He says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory." Amen. "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you would allow us to open our hearts and listen to your truth tonight. God, draw us closer to you. Lord, already we've laid out many, many names that we lift up to you for all kinds of different circumstances. But God, we know that you are on the throne. You've got everything under control. And God, I pray that our faith in you would just continue to become what you want it to be. And Lord, let us be that light that you so desire us to be as we walk around on this planet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a seat, please. Thank you. What the psalmist is talking about here, David's talking about rendering worship to the great and mighty God that we know. And when you look at verse 10 and verse 11, he is on the throne and he wants to bless his people. In verse 11, there's a blessing there. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And when you think about all that's going on out there and all of our different situations and circumstances and stuff, there's plenty to get all in a tizzy about and stuff like that. But we need to make sure that our attitude continues to become what God wants it to be, not a naive decoration of our faith. You know, a lot of times you'll talk to people and they'll say, you know, God's got everything under control, but you wonder if they really believe that or they're just making a naive decoration of their own faith. How can we live as blessed people desiring to see the world turned right side up? Well, I used to say upside down, but a man corrected me and he says, no, God's going to turn things right side up because they're already upside down, right? Knowing that in reality it's all falling apart around us. Tom Kaiser was a guy who was in charge of prayer for our state convention many years ago, and he said this in the 1990s, okay? He said that we would become more New Testament than we want to be as we study the Word of God and as things go on. But we need to be amazed at the truth that God wants to live out through our lives and continue to do that, not just in our minds. It needs to trickle down to our hearts and it needs to take over our being as we think about that. So our attitude needs to be focused on truth. And believe it or not, I think y'all would agree with this, but evil does exist, right? Don't get upset about it. But we need to get over it, and we can't grow cold to it, and we can't grow numb to it, but remember that evil exists. Revelation 12:12 says, "Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." This is talking about right after Satan got kicked out of heaven. And "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. He knows his days are numbered. And he started this war with God, and he's a loser, and he knows he's going to lose it. But in the meantime, he's trying to mess up everything he can." So we need to remember that, be aware of it, but don't let it overrun us and overtake our faith. Jesus said in John 10:10, that the thief does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And then there's a but. He says, I have come to bring life and life more abundantly, and we need to focus on that and remember that. Remember the rest of that verse and what it says. God is great, and God is good, and we need to hang on to that, okay? And what I've realized, what we do sometimes, we almost get this pessimistic attitude. You know, when something wrong's happening or something bad's going on, you know, we'll say, and I heard one guy say it on the news, even when they were talking about the bombing in Boston, he said, but on that same day, there were other bombings on the planet, and more people were killed in other places. And almost what we want to do is say, yep, something bad happened, but it's worse over here, so I'm glad I'm not over there. That's a negative and a pessimistic way of looking at things. What we need to do is focus on the Lord, on the throne, and what he's got going on, and what he's got to take care of us. John MacArthur said this. Listen to how he put this. He says, when we as God's children are so abundantly and continually showered with the most gracious, valuable, and satisfying blessings our Heavenly Father can bestow, why should anything evil have the slightest attraction to us? And another guy said, there's so much good to do out there. If we focus on doing what's right, we don't have time to do what's wrong. And that's all in the way we look at things and the way we allow the Word of God and our faith to program us as we walk through life. Habakkuk 1:5 says, when the prophet, and the prophet went to God whining about, hey God, haven't you seen all this evil around here? And this is Brian Jones paraphrase, okay? And why aren't you going to do something about it? There's all this garbage going on, and you need to do something about it. Why aren't you doing anything? And God spoke to him when the prophet asked him that. He says, the reply was, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. And God, the verses after that tells him exactly what he's going to do. And he goes, I'm going to do something, and you're going to be amazed. Even though you know from the Lord what he's going to do, it's going to blow you away. And as God does things, the statistics we got from Sunday, weren't y'all impressed with that? I mean, how many of y'all knew that many people were coming to Christ by the hour around the planet? And see, God's moving. There is a great harvest going on. And if we don't see it around here, we need to be praying about, okay, well where is our part? So I'm just echoing what I heard Sunday about that. And again, it's not a naive decoration of our faith that we need to focus on so much, but making sure that truth is evident, okay? And then the devil comes back, right? Y'all listen, see if any of these sound familiar. I'm losing my mind. I'm getting fat. I'm unemployed. My family's falling apart. Nobody likes me. Hurricane season's right around the corner, right? Sinkholes are all around us. Germs, right? Nobody cares. Y'all ever said those things? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah? Y'all need to be honest. So where's God, right? All right, here's where we're going. The Word of God and the Spirit of God for our programming. We need to use God's Word and allow His Spirit to program us. And as we go out, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Not that we should be the light of the world or you could be the light of the world, but He said you are the light of the world. We are the reflectors of God Almighty on this planet, and we need to go about that. Go to Isaiah 59, if you would, the Old Testament. Give you all 3 seconds to get there. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one under the seat in front of you. Unless half the youth now have these little plastic things. It's really cool. It's got all kinds of information. They don't need a Bible anymore. They got them little plastic things. Still need to memorize it, right? Isaiah 59 and verse 21, right at the end of the chapter, and in the chapter 60, says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, for this time and forevermore. And then he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen? And that's what God's telling us, arise and shine, and reflect the glory of God in our lives and demonstrate that to other people. I was watching Joe White, who's a coach. He used to do with Promise Keepers, but he has a drama that he does. He's the cross maker, and he walks in and he builds a cross, and he's talking about everything going on. But the way he finishes it up is as he's putting the cross together and he's, you know, getting it ready for the crucifixion, he says, you know what, this thing about Jesus, if he's not who he says he is, they'll forget his name, and that'll be it. Because he says that the crucifixion has a way of making people nobodies. And he says, but you know what, if he's what he says he is, then they'll be talking about it for thousands of years. Amen? Are we still talking about Jesus? Are we still trying to get the truth out? And this is from Charles Stanley. Here's some things that I want you all to think about. He says, God promises to give us all we need and the desires of our heart. There's scripture to back that up. But the key there is what we need, and our desires need to be the desires of God's heart as you get in tune with what he's got going on. And the way that happens is through prayer. We need to spend time in prayer. You know, you need to dump out everything you think you need to the Lord and then let him work on it and let him get back with you about what you really need and then get in agreement about that and keep working on that. And then the desires of our heart, as we continue to become what he wants us to be, then our desires become his desires. Then we start seeing that match up and happening. So that all happens through prayer. And then God promises his best. Isn't that right? Have y'all ever found anything in history or in the Word of God or in your own life where God didn't do his best? He always gives his best. He always does his best. And that's, we need to trust him with his timing. We might think we need something, but what God knows we need is going to come through a need that we have that we think needs to be fulfilled, but he's going to use that to really let us have the need fulfilled that he knows we need. That makes sense to y'all? Okay, it makes sense to me. All right, I've experienced that. Yeah, okay. All right, and then he says that God will deliver on his promises even when it seems impossible. Have y'all experienced God doing something impossible? Amen. Is he sleeping? Is he dead? Is he done? No. He's on the throne, and he's got more to come. And we need to be looking forward to what he's got going on and how things are going to happen. Not so much how, but just being a part of what he's got going on. And then for God to bless, we've got to be obedient to his word, and we need to check ourselves out there. Because we've got a culture nowadays that wants to argue with the word of God. And some of them even say they know the Lord, but they're arguing with what God's word says, and they're trying to redo things to match their own lives instead of our lives matching what God would have them to be. Is there anything in your life that you're arguing with the Lord about? Well, you know, God, that's in the Old Testament. One of the things I read lately was on the homosexual issue, and what the argument was leading to, if somebody took the Old Testament and said, well, you know, we eat shrimp now, and that's in the dietary law, so why isn't this other stuff okay? And I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I mean, this person did pages of study and words, and it was well done, put together well, and if somebody didn't know any better, they would read that and just go right ahead and agree with it. And it's like, I can't believe the stuff that's out there nowadays trying to get people off track. So we have to obey the Lord and his word. Amen? That's part of it. So we know this already. Let's go back to Psalm 29. And I just want to share a few things with you before we go. When was the last time you stood outside and watched a storm come? I'm narrowing it down. I'm almost there. Okay, I made it. In these first two verses, there's who, what, and how. The who is God Almighty. Okay? The what is given glory to the Lord, and the way we do it is through worship. We worship some tonight. We worship some on the Lord's Day. But how is your personal, individual worship to Almighty God? Do you have a time during the week, hopefully it's daily, where you can get alone and worship Almighty God You know, I don't care if you get in a closet and jump up and down or crawl under your bed or whatever, but you need to have that personal time in your life on a regular basis where you just allow your being to be reminded by the Spirit of God who He is and how awesome He is and what He's done for us. It's healthy. It's food for the soul. You have to have that personal worship time, whether you do it listening to music or your quiet time or whatever. But make sure you've got some time during the day where you take and you worship the Lord for who He is and what He's done. And then in these next few verses, he just talks about the awesome things that he knows God's done. You need to remind yourself of that. Charles Stanley said, get a notebook and write down every time you get blessed. And you know, go ahead and write down all the times things are going wrong and then compare them. And you're going to find out that you've got more blessings going on than trauma in your life. But we need to remind ourselves of that. And then as he finishes this up in verses 10 and 11, God is past, present, and future. He's not just the God of the Old Testament. He's not just somebody we read about. He's alive and well on planet Earth, and he's got some things that we need to look forward to. And I know on Sunday nights, as y'all have been going through the book of Revelation, Brother David's been bringing a lot of that out, the things that are to come and the things that are going to happen. Look at verse 10 with me. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. 70% of the world is still covered by water. How about that? That's amazing. But one day God covered it all up because of sin. Put the rainbow out. I was listening to, y'all ever heard of Charles Johnson and the Revivers? Nope. Really? Y'all are deprived. It's a black gospel group. But anyway, they're singing a song, It's Gonna Rain. It rained water some one time, but the next time it rains, I'm not gonna sing it, Dr. Terry, don't worry. But it's gonna rain fire next time, you know. But it's like, y'all ever watch Jack Van Impe? Jack Van Impe can give you the doom and gloom of God's wrath being pulled out, and he's got this big smile on his face saying, God's going to do it, you know. And that's what that song's about. God is going to shake planet Earth. He's going to shake the universe again. He's going to shake loose everything that doesn't belong to him. But he sat enthroned at the flood. He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't worried. He had everything under control, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And then the present is that the Lord sits as king forever. No matter what's going on planet Earth, no matter what's going on in our country, no matter what's going on in your family, God is on the throne and he's got it all figured out. That's why we desperately need to grab hold of the horns of the altar and be praying and draw closer to him. And then the Lord will give strength to his people. What a wonderful promise. God's saying right here in his word, and he is not a liar, that he will give you strength for no matter what. For aging, you know, if we're losing our mind. I blame it on medication, but some people say it's, you know, and I still feel like I'm a young person. That's why I hang out with these guys, you know. But things are changing. But God promises that he will give strength to his people. And the next promise there is he will bless his people with peace. If the world is shaken around you, then he's going to give you peace because we know who we belong to. So in the way of encouragement tonight, whatever's going on to distract you from the truth and what's going on, we need to make sure that we're focused on his truth and who he is and what he's got going on and grab hold of it. And we need to take that and encourage one another with it. Amen? Because y'all ever get pouty? Y'all ever having one of those great days and you're all excited about something, looking forward to something, and then you bump into somebody and it's like they're joy suckers. They just want to suck all the joy out of everything, you know? It's like you want to get some salt and put it on that leech, you know, and get rid of it. Anyway, be encouraged tonight that God has everything under control. And you know, things are going to get worse, but we are moving in the right direction, and we have some great things to look forward to. Continue to pray. Please be praying for Brother David this week as he goes. I think somebody brought him a sack of cookies, so he'll be good for a couple hours, right? But do you know that, Sandy? Okay, all right. I don't want to tell on him, right? But be praying for him as he travels. And our other missionaries that we know, personally. Isn't it good to know missionaries personally? It's just amazing to me. I know more and more missionaries personally. And we'll have a missionary with us Sunday morning, so y'all be praying. His name is Francisco. We'll tell you more about him Sunday morning. But he's a church planter in Canada right now. So we'll be praying for him. But pray for one another. Be encouraged. Amen? Y'all got that?
Amen.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that we can look back in spiritual and regular history and see how you have done so much. There's so much more to do. Lord, there's people all around us that just need a touch from you. There's people that are hurting that need encouragement. There's people that need to be reprogrammed to see things your way. So God, I pray that tonight in this group here in this room that you'll speak to our hearts individually and help us to understand how much you love us and how much you care about us and how much power there is in obedience and praying and trusting and doing those things that you'd have us to do. Lord, not to put you in a corner and suggest to you what you ought to do, but Lord, us getting in on your plan. And I thank you for that. So Lord, help us all to become better in our faith, better in our testimony, better in our witness, and help us be that true light that's shining. And again, Lord, those that we've mentioned already, we continue to lift them up to you, and we pray that you continue to minister those that are grieving, that are hurting, and God, just use us as your hands and your voice. Thank you again for loving us and being so good to us.